Red Dwarf, Season 5, Episode 5. Demons and Angels. In Red Dwarf's science lab, Lister uses forceps to remove a strawberry from a miniature stasis field.
Amazing. The last strawberry in the universe.
He puts it on the middle pad of the three on the unusual apparatus on the bench.
Calibrator locked and set. Organic infrastructure recorded and stored. Engage the triplicator.
A white light engulfs the strawberry. Simultaneously, the two other pads are illuminated, and a strawberry appears on each one.
It works.
Rimmer has just entered.
What works?
We've adapted the matter paddle. Only now the returning signal is split three ways, so as well as receiving the original object, we also get two identical copies.
This is gonna solve all our supply problems.
Taking into account the computations for recalibration, I think we can produce four, perhaps even five strawberries a week.
Rimmer is less than impressed.
Well, I don't know if the Nobel Prize people run a fruit section, but if they do, you've got to be this year's hot tip. Gentlemen, history beckons. You'll be famous. They'll build your statues. They'll even name towns after you. Dirksville springs instantly to mind.
This machine could revolutionize our lives.
Absolutely. With this little baby running at full pelt, I confidently predict we could have a full fruit salad by the end of the year.
Look, it's not just strawberries. This machine could duplicate anything.
He picks up one of the copies and takes a bite.
It can.
He suddenly stops, surprised and delighted.
Sir, what's wrong?
Strawberry's incredible. So succulent. It's divine.
He tries the other duplicate.
Is that the same?
Oh, no, no.
How's it different?
Bitter. Rancid.
He puts the strawberry down and maggots wriggle out of it.
Sir.
Kind of tangy. Crunchy.
Sir.
Tangy. Kind of chewy.
Sir.
Meaty even. Funny kind of wriggly texture.
He stops, looks down at the strawberry and notices the maggots.
Oh, smack.
It's as if the triplicator has extracted all the very best elements out of one duplicate and all the very worst out of the other.
So what would happen if we reversed the process?
Crichton presses some buttons. The science lab explodes. There is chaos, sparks erupt from various keyboards, smaller sub-explosions occur, Lister runs around the room, typing on any convenient keyboards. It grows slightly less frenetic in a fury of fizzling.
Nice experiment, guys. What do you do for an encore? Neutron bomb juggling?
The alert sirens begin their usual racket in the background. Holly appears on view screen.
Rude alert. Rude alert. An electrical fire has knocked out my voice recognition unicycle. Many worlders are missing from my database. Abandon shop. This is not a daffodil. Repeat, this is not a daffodil.
Well, thankfully Holly's unaffected.
The engine core is approaching critical mass. We'll have meltdown in less than 15 minutes.
I think a brisk stroll in the direction of the cargo bay could be an outstanding career move at this point.
What are you saying? Red Dwarf's gonna blow.
In less time than it takes a Norwegian to buy ski boots.
Cat enters.
Hey guys, I think they're playing a tune, the Awoka Waltz. Anyone care to join me in a quick step?
They all bustle out of the lab. Starbuck lifts off, powering towards the closed cargo bay door. Sparks fly. Inside.
Holly, open cargo bay doors.
Holly, those cargo bay doors we talked about earlier. Would you mind opening them, please?
Holly. The doors, Holly.
The phrase cargo bay doors does not appear to be in my lexicon.
Manual override.
The phrase manual override.
Oh, forget it.
The crew brace themselves and with an explosion of cargo bay doors, Starbuck makes its exit. Gradually they regain control of the bug and it flies away.
That's 80 clicks. We should be clear of any possible blast zone.
You really think it's gonna blow?
This can't be happening.
Nothing's gonna happen. We're just doing it as a precaution. The whole ship's full of failsafes anyway. Cooling systems, containment panels, vacuum shields. The actual chances of it blowing are about 1 in...
Red Dwarf explodes.
1.
Well, according to the charts, the nearest asteroid with an S3 atmosphere is 6 hours away. The trouble is, we only have enough fuel for 5 hours flight. I don't think that's going to prove to be a major problem, though, because we only have enough oxygen for 7 minutes.
Rimmer turns away from Lister and Cat and speaks in an aside to Crichton.
Well, that doesn't really affect us, does it?
Sorry, sir.
We don't need oxygen. Now here's a thought. If we ejected their corpses into outer space, would the weight reduction allow us to reach the asteroid?
He turns back to face the Cat and Lister, and gives them a big smile.
Come on, Rimmer, that's not the attitude.
Sorry.
That's not the Red Dwarf way. One in trouble, all in trouble.
The pass.
The boys from the dwarf.
He and Crichton do the boys from the dwarf hands dangle.
If one of us is in a fix, the homeboys band together.
It's the way it is.
Have you got anything in writing?
You're a toad, Rimmer. You're a weasel. You're a slimy, river-dwelling rodent with the morals of a praying mantis.
I'm just being a realist. Look, you only have 7 minutes left to live. That's tragic. God, it's tragic.
His face is completely devoid of the intense grief and mortification he must be feeling.
But for the rest of us, life must go on.
If I may interject, sir, in your case that's not exactly true. Remember, you are operating on emergency battery supplies. We have no spares. In fact, you yourself, sir, will expire in a little under 4 minutes.
Rimmer performs an exaggerated poise from the dwarf hand's dangle.
Okay, homeboys, let's pass.
Right. Crichton, get a rotoscope. Scan the wreckage.
Straight away, sir.
Cat, get suited up. Maybe some oxygen tanks have survived, maybe some fuel tanks. Maybe we can get a fix and get out there and bring them on board. Meanwhile, turn Rimmer down to minimum power. That way it'll triple his running time.
Rimmer is about to say something, but is interrupted by a cry from Crichton.
Sirs, there's something out there. Two objects, far too vast to be debris. According to the backlog, they materialized just before the explosion.
Can we get in any closer?
Enhance maximum.
The viewscope gives successively better views. There are two large red spacecraft out there, both labeled Red Dwarf.
Of course. The triplicator has made two copies of Red Dwarf.
How?
Well, presumably when I threw the triplicator into reverse, it didn't reverse the process. It reversed the field of the beam, projecting it out, not in.
So, instead of copying the strawberries, it copied the entire ship?
Precisely. And presumably the resultant power drain exposed the engine's core and caused the original to blow.
So, like the strawberries, there are two new red dwarves, one succulent and divine, the other fish bait.
So what's the problem? We got us a ship, and from what you're saying, it should be better than the original.
Not quite.
In the lab, the triplicate copies have a limited lifespan.
How long?
About an hour.
Well, there may be a solution. The contents of the ship should be triplicate too, so there will be a working triplicate on board whichever of the ships is the superior. You see, theoretically, we should be able to reverse the reversal and replicate the original Red Dwarf by amalgamating the two copies.
He makes it sound so simple.
Starbuck approaches one of the dwarves. It sets down in a cargo bay. In Starbuck's rear, Lister and Cat prepare to leave. Crichton carries a long extension cord. Rimmer is fading in and out.
We have to find a terminal to reboost Mr. Rimmer's battery pack. We'll catch you up.
Cat and Lister enter a corridor, a long, white, gleamingly clean corridor. Geometric patterns adorn the walls and ceiling. Heavenly music is playing.
Check the music.
It's magnificent.
I never heard anything like it before.
Get a lungful of that air, man. Everything about this ship is, well, it's divine.
They approach a vending machine.
Hey, let's check the food.
He presses some buttons and the machine dispenses a cup.
What did you order?
The ultimate test. Pot noodle.
They both try it and both close their eyes and sigh in ecstasy.
I tell you one thing. I've been to a parallel universe, I've seen time running backwards, I've played pool with planets and I've given birth to twins, but I never thought in my entire life I'd taste an edible pot noodle.
They taste another spoonful, but are interrupted by,
"Brothers, we bid you welcome."
The arrival of the High Cat and the High Lister. They look much like their normal counterparts, but are wearing long white robes. On their foreheads are geometric symbols of some metallic material.
There must be much you do not understand. Come.
They turn and go. Cat and Lister follow. Cat to his high self.
You're me, but you're not me. I am part of you. Your higher self. Your spiritual side. I exist in you as potential, but now I'm here, extrapolated from your being. Extrapolated? Buddy, there is no way you're a part of me. No part of me would ever be seen alive in sandals. I find clothes a distraction from the pursuit of spiritual and intellectual fulfillment. That's weird, because I find spiritual and intellectual fulfillment a distraction from the pursuit of clothes.
Let us join our friends in the meditation chamber. Perhaps then we can spend a profitable evening seeking out answers to the metaphysical phenomena which have plagued mankind since time began.
Lister seems eager.
Sounds wild.
Cat doesn't.
Hold me back.
The meditation chamber. It looks much like the science lab on the original Red Dwarf, but cleaner, with less obtrusive equipment and nicer decor. Crichton sits behind a bench, adjusting a piece of apparatus. Rimmer listens to the High Crichton and High Rimmer. The High Crichton is gleaming bright and wears white robes. The High Rimmer also wears white robes, and the H on his forehead appears to be made out of highly polished chromium.
Philosophy, poetry, music and study. That is how we spend our time. Trying to expand our minds and unlock our full potential in the service of humankind. What a pair of losers!
Lister and Cat enter, Lister still holding his divine pot noodle.
Ah, more visitors. Come, soul sibling, let us prepare some refreshments.
May your path lead to wisdom, and in wisdom, know ye peace.
They bow and leave.
These guys are supposed to be us. I don't buy it.
These are our higher selves. They are the people we could have become if all the negative aspects of our characters were removed.
You mean hippies?
With respect, sir, you think Jesus was a hippie?
Well, he was. He had long hair, he didn't have a job. What more do you want?
Lister is getting stuck into his pot noodle.
How come they're so much smarter than we are?
This is my guess. Your mind records everything. Everything you see, hear, every word you read, every conversation. It's all stored in your subconscious. Somehow our higher selves have access to that knowledge.
Look, I'm getting itchy feet here. You got the gizmo, let's cram before the Mad Monk brothers rope us into an evening of philosophical musings and self-flagellation.
It's not quite that simple. This triplicator has only half the vital components. We need the second triplicator from the lower ship.
A triangle sounds. The High Crichton and High Lister appear in the doorway, the Crichton with the triangle, the Lister with the futuristic lyre. They bow to each other, then to their audience.
Let the entertainment begin. There will be haiku readings, poetry recitals, and musings on the inner soul. But first, music and dance.
He tings the triangle. The High Rimmer enters, hamacting pain.
Brother Rimmer is portraying agony.
The agony of the soul that searches out the truth. The truth danced by Brother Cat.
The High Cat appears in the doorway. He approaches the High Rimmer, who is now on his knees, and juggles three silk handkerchiefs over the Rimmer's head.
But the truth is elusive.
It flits like a firefly through the cold night of the soul. Teasing, confusing.
And agony, in torment, searches forever in vain.
This is exactly what the High Rimmer is overacting in his dance. He seeks the High Cat, with his back to him, as the High Cat prances just out of his reach. Their audience doesn't seem to know quite how to take the performance. A musical tone sounds, and the High Holly appears on a wall monitor. She looks like the normal Holly, but wears a nun's habit and wimple.
Brothers, I am compelled to intrude.
What is it, sister?
I am receiving a weak but plaintive distress call from a ship which appears to be identical to our own.
Then we must help them. With haste, brothers.
The High Lister and High Crichton bow to the others and leave. Crichton packs the triplicator as they follow. Everyone piles aboard Starbuck and it takes off, heading for the low dwarf.
Approach Karen Plavid. We're gonna just take her in nice and easy.
Starbuck lands and the door opens. The lights in this red dwarf fluctuate and die. The two crews leave Starbuck.
Okay, keep them peeled, guys.
All eight characters move into the dingy, dirty corridors. Packing crates litter the cargo bay, and the only light comes from the occasional lantern. A junction of two corridors between the packing crates. Lister goes first, then the High Cat. Rimmer leaps into the junction with a karate-style jump, hurting his foot, and the High Crichton brings up the rear.
Welcome, brothers. We bring food and medical supplies.
A shot rings out. It hits him on the left shoulder.
Poor devil, his gun must have gone off accidentally. Welcome, my children. We bring you bombs and tinctures.
Two more shots hit him on the right shoulder and the left of his abdomen, respectively. Rimmer, safe behind the crates, ducks.
We would be pleased to sing you healing hymns.
Two more shots and the High Crichton falls.
Is he dead? We can only hope.
Lister, keeping low, enters the corridor and drags the High Crichton to safety behind some crates.
The poor wretch. He has a foggy gun. He has accidentally shot me 5 times. Oh, how I love him.
The High Cat, with no precautions, enters the corridor and addresses the unseen gunman.
Brother, there is a grievous fault with thy weapon. It keeps shooting people.
A bullet hits him in the right side of the chest. The High Cat points to the wound.
You see? There it goes again.
A grenade rolls toward him. There doesn't seem to be a pin in it. In fact, it is fizzing rather nastily.
What is this?
The High Crichton walks up to it and picks it up.
It's a greeting gift. Sparkling, welcome orb. Come, let us embrace its splendid beauty and share in its vibrations.
Lister and Rimmer see the grenade and run.
It's exquisite, divine. What does it say to you, brother?
Apparently, it says boom. The blast flings Lister into a crate, knocking him unconscious. Rimmer finds a convenient crate and hides behind it. Lister awakens to face the wrong end of a bazookoid. The right end of the bazookoid is held by a man wearing a full cowboy outfit, heavy, spurred boots, black hat, an Eastwood-style cigar stub, a dark beard and a patch over his left eye. It's the low Lister. He spits in Lister's face and giggles annoyingly, revealing silver eye teeth. He fires, but Lister manages to roll to avoid the shot. He fires again, still giggling, but Lister again rolls out of the line of fire, gets to his feet, and flees. Lister runs down a ladder and along the corridor. Down the cross corridor is a figure leaning over two bodies. It's the low cat, eating the remains of the high cat and the high Crichton. He sees Lister and grins, blood smeared over his face. His fangs reach the base of his chin and his eyebrows are locked in a perpetual frown. Lister runs on. A maze later, he slows and leans back against a crate to catch his breath. With a crash, two hands break out through the crate walls and begin throttling him. He breaks free, flinging himself headfirst into a nearby drum. He gets up rapidly and flees. The owner of the hands, the low Crichton, a twitching, oil-stained version of the mechanoid, breaks the rest of the crate to shards. Lister hides behind the crate. Two cowboy boots track him. Silence.
Rimmer. Rimmer. Rimmer.
The boots stop, then change direction and close in on him. Lister is urgent now, checking behind nearby crates for Rimmer. Behind him, a figure struts down the ladder and asks,
"Looking for someone?"
Lister turns to face the figure on the ladder. It wears stockings with garters, a studded leather collar, an ornate earring in its right ear with a chain leading to a sleeper in its right nostril, and a first toe. It is barely recognizable as the low Rimmer, his forehead etched at a 45-degree angle as though having fallen between his eyebrows.
Holy smack.
Hello, my pretty.
What do you want with me?
I want to hurt you.
Why?
Because I'm not a very nice person.
The low Rimmer produces an iridescent blue whip-like object and lashes Lister with it. Lister clutches at his head where the lash struck him.
A hollow whip?
I'm going to lash you to within an inch of your life. And then I'm going to have you.
Again, he lashes Lister, who collapses. With several hollow, demonic laughs, the four loaves surround Lister. Lister passes out. Another corridor on the low red dwarf.
Sirs, we're running short of time. We have less than 20 minutes to find the second triplicator and set it up. I suggest we divide our efforts.
A sage suggestion, brother.
Perhaps I should go with Brother Cat.
You haven't got a weapon.
We have no need of weapons, feline brother. We wear protective herbs.
I'm going with Botrain.
He goes off with Crichton.
As you wish, brother.
The high Rimmer indicates that the high Lister is to go first. He does so, with a slight nod.
Thank you, friend.
The bridge. Lister is strapped to a large table and the four loaves surround him. The low Holly appears on the view screen. Her hair is jet-black, and she resembles a biker's mouth.
It is ready.
Put it in his spine.
He holds up a small, mug-pointed object, which the low Crichton takes and inserts into the base of Lister's neck.
Wake up. You don't want to miss the pain. Can you feel the needles as they burrow into your spine?
You guys are two letters short of an allotment. What are you after?
We want your vessel.
Nothing works here, man.
Everything is in decay.
And here is how we're going to get it.
The low Crichton walks around the table, undoing Lister's straps.
I can't move.
Of course not. He hasn't turned you on yet.
To the low Lister.
Show him.
The low Lister holds up a remote control and telescopes the aerial. At the touch of a button, Lister finds himself sitting up and turning to the left. The low Lister presses another button and Lister's hands clap.
He applauds our efforts.
Maybe he'd like to go for a little walk.
Game over now, eh? Game over.
I wonder what's in that supply cabinet.
Lister is stood up, thanks to the remote control, and robotically walked over to the cabinet. His hand opens the door and closes it hard on his nose. He groans with pain. The lows all laugh. Lister is walked over to the kettle and his hands pick it up.
Oh no. No.
I wonder if he'd like a drink to calm him down.
No.
Lister is sat down. He braces himself for the inevitable, but still mouths wordlessly when his hand pours boiling water over his crotch.
Whoops.
The low cat takes the kettle and presses it to the side of his own face, generating sizzling sounds. The lows cackle again.
Perhaps he'd like something to eat. Yes.
Lister is walked to a counter and dropped to his knees. He is thus brought face to face with a large frog in a glass case. His expression progresses from worried to panicked.
Ugh. You guys have got to be yanking my chain.
His left hand removes the lid and grabs the frog.
Bon appetit.
Lister's right hand holds his mouth open as his left shoves the live frog into it. He gags and screams as best he can. The frog eventually goes down.
Welcome to our team. No way are you part of me.
Oh, yes he is. He's the little boy who used to pull the legs off insects. He's the little boy who, on a hot summer's day, held a magnifying glass to his best friend's neck and watched him burn.
He's the part of you who wants all your friends to fail.
The part of you that loves to watch horror movies.
The part of you that lusts after meaningless sex.
He's cruel. He's selfish. He thinks terrible things.
He's you.
Ah, but he kills. I'm not capable of that.
We'll soon see about that.
The low Crichton places a piece of adhesive tape over Lister's mouth. The science lab, or the equivalent on the ship. It's grimy, with junk scattered about and dirty clothes strewn around the room. Cat and Crichton enter, each toting a bazookoid. Cat fans his nose to try to force away the worst of the stench.
Phew.
Pat moves to the video player.
Nice movie collection. Revenge of the Mutants Plant Gore Monster. Die screaming with sharp things in your head.
Gore movies. Weapons magazines. This place is a shrine to everything that's low and base. Everything that's designed to sicken the soul and shrivel the spirit.
Crichton opens the fridge.
Ugh, toasty toppers. Ugh, cinema hot dogs. Ugh, sweaty kebabs with springy brown lettuce coming out.
Crichton slams the fridge closed with disgust. Cat holds up some CDs.
Look at this music. Hammond Heaven. Carol Crazy. Peter Perfect plays tuneful tunes for elderly ladies. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wait. Here it is.
He sweeps aside the worst of the junk sitting on top of the box he wants.
Clearly, they have no idea as to its purpose.
How long do we have?
Barely 8 minutes, sir.
Crichton takes the box and leaves. Cat picks up both their bazookas and follows. A corridor elsewhere on the low red dwarf.
Have I told you today how much I love thee, brother? How much my heart glimmers like a newborn star when I gaze upon your beauteous countenance? Thy love refreshes and cleanses me like a babbling mountain stream, brother.
Lister appears at the end of the corridor. He is still gagged, and his right hand, behind him, holds a wicked-looking knife. He approaches the high duo and tries to speak, grunting through the gag. The bridge. The lows are clustered around the low Lister, who sits before a visual display. The display shows what Lister can see. The low Lister controls a joystick. Back to the controlled Lister and the two highs. Lister tries again to speak.
Gahumph.
Lister's right hand produces the knife.
A knife? Are you hungry, brother? I have some pulses and a little curd for your refreshment.
Lister's eyes bulge. He helplessly watches his own hand slash downward with the knife, giving the high Lister two enormous gashes down the left shoulder.
Forgive me, brother. I appear to have stained thy knife and with my blood. A thousand apologies.
The high Lister collapses.
Brother, permit me to furnish you with a fresh knife.
Lister's left hand reaches into the high rimmer and squeezes his light B. The high rimmer looks pained and begins to fade.
Farewell, brother, my brook is babbled.
Lister's left hand crushes the light B and the high rimmer disappears. The bridge. The lows are enjoying the show immensely. The low Crichton headbutts the low Cat. Near the cargo bay of the low red dwarf, Crichton is fine-tuning the triplicator. The Cat, toting a bazookoid, enters with rimmer.
I found Gulpa's head. No sign of Dorma's cheeks, though.
Sir, we were so worried. What happened?
We were ambushed by a platoon of lows. I was leading a valiant rearguard action.
I found him shivering in a box.
It was a tactical maneuver to outfox the enemy.
As was using his uniform as a temporary latrine.
Sir, where is Mr. Lister?
We got jumped and he ran off through the storage bay like a gazelle on steroids. We'll just have to leave him.
Within 4 minutes the ship will no longer exist.
Hey, there he is.
Lister approaches from the other corridor. He is still wearing his gag and his right hand is hidden behind him.
What took you so long, buddy?
The Cat pulls off the tape over Lister's mouth.
What?
Look out!
Lister's right hand appears from behind him. It wields a fire axe.
I'm gonna kill ya.
The axe is brought crashing forward and becomes stuck in the lintel of the door, cutting a cable and sending sparks flying. Lister's arms try to free the axe.
I'm a homicidal maniac. My body's being remote controlled by the laws.
The fire axe is freed, and Lister's body is walked up to Crichton.
Crichton, look out!
His hands bash Crichton on the forehead with the axe handle.
You gotta stop me.
The axe handle swats Crichton aside with a blow to the side of his neck. Lister's hands drop the fire axe and his body marches toward the Cat.
Shoot him.
Lister's hands start to throttle the Cat. The Cat tries, but fails, to remove Lister's hands from his throat.
What? Blow his kneecaps off, it's the only way. Give me a break, Rimmer. He's a homicidal maniac, put him down.
There must be some other way. You've got to incapacitate me somehow.
There, Crichton. Hit him over the head with that axe.
That'll kill me.
Not if he does it gently. Come on, he's killing the Cat.
Ooh, what can I do?
Incapacitate me in a painless way.
With a hearty, meaty thwack, the Cat incapacitates him with his foot in a way that doesn't seem particularly painless. Lister's eyes bulge, his mouth screams silently, and he releases the Cat.
That was unnecessary.
Unnecessary? Look what you've done to my neckline. This stuff never springs back.
Oh my god, I think I'm going for the bazookoid.
Indeed he is. Crichton, wisely, hides behind a desk. The Cat hides behind the desk and Crichton. Rimmer, of course, hides behind the desk, Crichton and the Cat.
Duck.
They do. His shot passes over their heads. There's a click as the next shot passes into the chamber of the bazookoid.
Left.
They duck left, just as his shot whizzes to their right. Once again, the bazooka click-clacks, loading the next shot into its chamber.
Right.
They duck right as the shot from the bazooka passes through the space previously occupied by their heads. Lister's body struggles with the bazooka.
I'm trying to reload. Someone get behind me.
Crichton moves to the side, behind some pillars, and moves around to get behind Lister.
I'm going to come around behind you now, sir.
Okay, Crichton, take me by surprise.
I'm coming around behind you to take you by surprise, sir.
Get on with it, surprise me.
Crichton is now behind Lister. He sprays three squirts from a spray gun onto a rack in his left hand.
You may get an unpleasant sensation of chloroform. Don't be alarmed.
Lister has reloaded and is aiming at the cat.
Surprise me now.
Here comes my surprise, sir.
He chloroforms Lister. Lister struggles, then falls unconscious. The cat and Rimmer peep up from behind the desk. Then, when Rimmer is satisfied that Lister is out cold, he stands fully, dusting his hands with an "it's all under control now" look.
Okay. How long before the triplicator activates?
Less than 2 minutes.
They exit toward the cargo bay. In the rear of Starbuck, Crichton and the cat lay out Lister's unconscious body. They race toward the cockpit.
Hurry.
They press keys, and Starbuck makes whiny "I'm not going to start" noises.
Damn. A flat battery. Who left the lights on?
No, it's the magnetic coils. They've depolarized. It's as if the decay on the ship is in some way contagious.
35 seconds.
Try the backup.
Starbuck makes more noises, but of a slightly more hopeful temper.
Let's get out of here.
In the rear, Lister awakens and sits up.
Yep, all systems check.
Starbuck takes off.
We're up and looking good.
Lister is walked into the cockpit, his arms carrying a shovel. They bring it down, twice, onto Starbuck's console, causing more flashes of light and sparks.
Not again?
Lister's hands drop the shovel and start to throttle the cat.
Watch where you're steering!
Starbuck is careering wildly down the exit corridor.
Chloroform him.
Crichton, however, is struggling to pull Lister off the cat.
Oh, wait. I think I've located the spinal implant.
Crichton pulls the implant out of Lister's spine. At the same moment, Starbuck smashes out of the low dwarf, again banging the door. The bodies within the cockpit jostle.
Where is it? I lost it.
It's in his neck.
He is pointing at the cat. The cat looks up with a ferocious gleam in his eyes and starts to throttle the now comatose Lister. Crichton pulls the implant from his neck and tosses it back into the rear. With the cry of an angelic choir, the two red dwarves vanish and one appears. The red dwarf on Starbuck's view screen. Mixed to Holly.
Holly's back.
Crichton begins awakening Lister, who is out cold.
Mr. Lister, wake up, sir. It's over. We're safe now.
Engaging autopilot. Course 00 mark 0. Taking her home.
Starbuck rear. Starbuck lands and Crichton helps Lister out of the cockpit. They are followed by an angry cat and a relieved Rimmer.
See what you did to my blousen? Look at it. Plus, you almost killed me 3 times.
Sorry, it wasn't my fault. Once you get one of them things in you, you just can't.
He sits and looks thoroughly shocked.
Sir, what's wrong?
I think he just sat on the spinal implant.
But it doesn't make sense. Who's controlling him?
For he is certainly being controlled. Lister is stood up and walked toward the cat again. The cat lifts his bazooka and fires at the cupboard, from which a faint and annoying giggle can be heard. A very dead low Lister falls out, still holding the remote control. Lister halts.
I'd better remove the spinal implant and destroy it once and for all.
Cat puts down his bazookoid and picks up the remote control.
Wait a minute. Just give me 1 week, that's all I ask.
What are you talking about?
Cat twiddles the joysticks on the remote control, and Lister's hands slap Lister's face. Once, twice, thrice.
Boy, this is gonna be fun.
The end.